Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 283. You're not going to believe this.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. He has a system for almost everything, including how he's organized his closet. Pat Flynn.
Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. Hey, what's up, everybody? Pat Flynn here, and thank you so much for joining me today in session 283 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. We've got a really quick story to tell you. So before Social Media Marketing World here in San Diego, which is an event that happens every year in March, which I highly recommend if you're going to go, I will be speaking there next year and I would love to meet you. But anyway, this previous year, I was able to work with a co-working space called WeWork here in downtown San Diego. I'm a member. It's great. And I was able to utilize the space in the back, which was quite big, to put on a little event. And WeWork was fantastic. They made everything very easy. And this little event that I wanted to put together was just a way for people who were coming into town and entrepreneurs who lived in San Diego to come together in one spot, all meet, just hang out before the event started. Well, this little event that ended up turning into a big event with about 400 attendees. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of networking was happening. We had some amazing tacos. I mean, if you're in San Diego, you got to get tacos, right? But there was one particular person who I met there. Her name is Cassidy. And when I found out what she did to get there, I was kind of blown away. Not only that, she had this box that she had with her that she gave to me as sort of a gift. And in this box was a model DeLorean. And in the DeLorean were succulents. So the DeLorean was basically like a planter, which was really cool. I've never seen anything like that before, but I didn't quite understand what was going on. Well, Cassidy told me that when I had emailed my list a day earlier, letting them know that spots had opened up for this event, because we originally capped it at 150, then WeWork was like, no, just let everybody in, it's cool. So I sent an email and said, hey guys, if you're on the wait list, like just come on by, it's open. And apparently when I did that, Cassidy spoke to her husband and drove to San Diego from Utah the day before the event. She dropped off the family in Vegas on the way, literally driving from Utah, and then came over and just got in a couple hours earlier in San Diego, and then there she was. And when I learned more about what she was up to, it just blew me away. She's making six figures a year in succulents, teaching people how to plant and nurture and grow succulents online. And I was like, dude, I have to get her on the podcast. And I'm really excited because she's here with us today. She's the featured interview and she's just such an amazing person and so nice and so caring. And I just want to thank you, Cassidy, before we even get started here in the intro, just to say you are amazing, not only because you took that time to drive from Utah and talk and convince your husband, like I would be like, who's this Pat Flynn character? Why would you drive there? Anyway, just thank you so much for the support, and I'm so happy to feature you here. So succulentsandsunshine.com is the website, and we're going to get into her story, how she built it up, and the whole thing right now. What's up, everybody? I'm so happy to welcome Cassidy from succulentsandsunshine.com to the show. Cassidy, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So really quick, I want you to tell people, what is it that you do? What is your online business? I think this is gonna blow people's minds when they hear this story and how it all kind of unfolded. What do you do?
So I have a website all about growing succulents and just teaching people how to take care of them, mostly indoors. And then also I'm kind of branching into growing succulents in areas that, like Utah, where we have a freezing temperature.
So what is a succulent for everybody out there who doesn't quite know what that means?
So succulents are a type of plant. So most people will recognize like aloe vera, cactus are also in the succulent family. Mm-hmm. That sometimes confuses people. Cactus are succulents, but not all succulents are cactus. They're just a plant that stores water. They're pretty drought tolerant. So they've gotten a lot of popularity over the last few years, especially in your area where there's been a big drought.
Yes. We had a gardener come in and give us a list of the, because we have an HOA, and there's certain plants that we can use and there's certain ones that we cannot because of water usage. And most of the ones that were on the yes, you may use, it was all succulents, a lot of them were at least. So I'm very familiar with them myself. Now, I have a big question to ask you. If you don't mind sharing, however open you want to be with it, like how well is this business about helping people grow and plant succulents doing?
Awesome. So initially I had set a goal to make like $1,000 a month. And I thought like at most I could maybe hit $5,000 a month. In 2016, we ended up grossing just over $100,000.
What? Six figures from succulents, guys. Like, I hope this tells you that it doesn't really matter what you do. What matters is how well you do it. And I think, and obviously when you go to succulentsandsunshine.com, you can see that you have a lot of products to offer. You have a lot of content and you've been doing this for a little bit of time. When did this all start for you?
So, it kind of started in 2012. That's when I bought my first few succulents, and, I'm actually a photographer by profession. So I'd been just photographing them and mm-hmm. putting them on my photography blog. And then the whole online business thing kind of piqued my interest. So I put analytics on my site and realized that no one was visiting my photography, but all of my traffic was, for the succulent pages. So in 2013 is when I switched it over to be its own website. So that's when Succulents and Sunshine was born. So I did have a few articles before then, mm-hmm. But that was kind of the big start when it became a real business.
And was succulents something that you were kind of
you know, a pro at before, or was it kind of just like a side thing while you were kind of doing your photography stuff?
It was definitely a side thing. I didn't know anything about them before I started. So I was looking for information on how to grow more because I'd heard that they propagate or reproduce really easily. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of a details person, and I couldn't find a really detailed step-by-step of how to propagate them. So I just started experimenting, and that's what I was putting on the blog, was just like, hey, this week, you know, I'm doing this with my succulents and we're going to see what happens. And essentially that's been what, you know, the blog or website has been ever since, is just a combination of me experimenting with different things. And then also in the last couple of years, I've done a lot more research and networking with more professionals or experienced succulent growers.
That's so incredible. So, okay, $100,000 plus, and probably going to grow from that because, pun intended, because of the new exposure that you're getting, because it's just, you know, you're probably writing more articles and, you know, creating more courses. What kinds of courses do you have to offer? What is this audience looking for from you?
So right now, the only course, I mean, I guess full course I have available is called Successfully Growing Succulents. Mm-hmm. And that basically just, it's for beginners. So it walks you through everything from buying your first succulent through maintaining it after it's been growing for a while, and everything in between. So basically just hold your hand through the whole succulent buying and growing and maintenance process.
At what point in your journey after 2013 and you started to kind of go, you know, into the succulent sort of arena a little bit, did that course come out?
So it actually just came out November 2016 was when it launched.
Ah, okay. Very cool.
So it's new. Yep.
How else were you generating an income beyond the course?
So I think in 2014 is when I published my first ebook. And I've done about one a year since then. So there's four total. Mm-hmm. One of them is just like a very quick guide. So ebooks, and then also, just display ads, banner ads. Mm-hmm. And, in 2015, 2016, I really started into affiliate marketing. So between, you know, info products, ad revenue and affiliate programs, the income's kind of balanced now between all of them, a pretty even split.
That's so cool. And were you doing photography sort of full time, kind of before, or like, what was your job? Do you still have a job, you know, in addition to this, or is this thing like your full time effort right now?
So this is my full-time effort right now. So it's actually put my husband through graduate school, which has been awesome.
Wow.
But yeah, before I started the blog, well, let's see. So in February of 2013 was when I like bought the domain Succulents and Sunshine. And at the time I was working part-time as a photographer. It was just freelance, mm-hmm. but I was making roughly a full-time income. But the company that I was working with decided they wanted to bring on someone full-time. I was making enough that they wanted someone there 40 hours a week instead of like 20, 25. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want to pay any more than they're paying me. So I didn't want to work double time and make the same amount of money. So that's when I got the crazy idea to just go with the succulent blog. And yeah, my husband was like, yeah, sure, we can do it. He had some funding over the summer for his research, and I was making a whole $100 a month from Succulents and Sunshine at the time. But yeah, just decided to give that a shot over the summer, see what happened. And then, you know, if it wasn't making enough by the fall, then I figured I'd go back to finding more clients and doing more freelance photography.
Okay. So you did have some sort of like a deadline almost to kind of make it work first before really diving into it, like, and committing to it full time, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And then what an incredible response related to your husband in terms of like what he thought about this. I could imagine some partners kind of questioning the idea to do this. Why do you think he was so on board with you going down this route?
Sometimes I really don't know. He's just awesome. He's been really supportive with the whole thing. And looking back, I'm like, man, that was kind of crazy that we decided that was a good idea. But yeah, I think he just knew that I was really struggling with kind of a 9-to-5 type job, and photography has always been my passion. And so, we both kind of saw it as a good way to make money through photography, but have it be a little more, stable, not have to work as hard to find clients and all of that. And then also, we ended up, let's see. So then my son was born in 2014. So it was a good way to kind of transition to having a work from home job so I could stay home with him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it all sounds like it worked out perfectly. I'm sure there was a lot of struggles though in the beginning when you finally made that decision. Okay, I'm gonna give this a chance. I'm gonna go full on with it until the fall to see if it works. What was going through your head? What were some of the challenges? What were some of the struggles during that point as you were building it up?
One of the things was just getting traffic. So, all of the traffic I'd been getting up to that point was, actually search traffic, which is bloggers that are kind of in my circle of friends right now are barely getting search traffic. So I was kind of unusual in that way. But it was just kind of figuring out how to get people to the site beyond what I was getting already. So I'd looked into doing, well, I played around with, Pinterest was kind of new-ish at the time, new to me anyway. So kind of started working on that, and then just building out content was kind of a struggle because I felt like I maxed out on what I could write about succulents, which is really ironic to me now because I have like pages and pages and pages of ideas.
Oh, interesting.
To write about. But
actually, go a little bit deeper in that. I mean, how come you thought that you had sort of ran out of topics, and what was the shift, or when did that shift happen in terms of, wow, I actually do have a lot to talk about and even more?
So I think it was that I think I felt kind of maxed out because I kind of stopped experimenting with what I was doing. So I had written about like, I think at that point I'd written about soil and watering, and propagating, and kind of in my head, that was it.
That was all.
Yeah. Like that's all you need to know. But then it was actually in the, it would have been around that time. I started my email list around then and kind of had people start asking me more questions like, hey, how do you do this or this? And I'd also been kind of building my network of succulent experts and realizing that not everyone knew kind of some of the more details about succulents. There's just a lot of like little aspects that most people hadn't written about. There just wasn't a lot available online. And so it was just kind of delving into some of these smaller topics and really kind of fleshing them out, making them very detailed.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Now let's go back to, okay, getting traffic, getting people to find you beyond the search engines, which was like a great gift, obviously. But it was a point to you that, yes, this is something people are interested in. How else were you able to finally start generating new traffic from there?
So Pinterest ended up being huge for me at that point. I had one of my posts about propagating succulents, I felt like went viral on Pinterest. I'd had, a couple thousand people repinning it, and that started really driving the Pinterest traffic. And then just kind of consistently playing Pinterest game of making sure I was consistently adding new content, both of my own and other people's. And the other thing that made a big difference, and I think you talked about this in one of one of the podcast episodes, but just formatting the images for Pinterest. So now with every blog post, we have what we call a pinnable image. So it's basically just a vertical image that has like the title of the blog post on it, mm-hmm. or some sort of catchy phrase. And those have done really well on Pinterest. And then we're kind of moving into other social media a little bit. But yeah, that made a really big difference to kind of figure out some of those guidelines for Pinterest on how to increase traffic.
So before the first book came, what was the traffic like on your website? Like how many visitors were you getting per day on average?
Maybe 1,000.
Wow. I mean, that's still a great amount.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was good, but it wasn't huge. And even when I launched the first ebook, I think I sold, so they're $10 each, but I think I sold like 10 the first 2 weeks I had it out. Mm-hmm. And I'd been listening to a lot of SPI and just other people, you know, talking about launching a product and like, you know, having these, you know, six-figure launches. And I'm like, I made $100, which didn't even quite pay for. I hired a graphic designer to lay out the book. And so it took me like 2 months to make up that $400. And
what were you feeling at like from that launch? Were you kind of deflated from it because you were expecting more, or were you kind of okay, like a couple people wanted it, like let's see where it goes from here?
It's kind of a little bit of both. And honestly, most of my launches have been that way. I'm like, okay, people are buying, so something's right.
Huh, interesting.
But not quite as many as I'd expected. So it was enough that it made me want to do more. And not enough that it made me want to do more. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it was motivation to work a little harder to promote it and get it out there.
But it sounds like after the launches, you know, maybe they didn't go as well as expected. It seems like based on what you're saying that, well, things started to pick up at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been, I would say that I consistently would sell like one every other day after the launch, you mm-hmm. know, so it was definitely regular. And that was really encouraging that like, okay, new people coming to the site, they're finding the eBooks, they're purchasing. So there was a lot of consistency throughout that made me want to keep working more, mm-hmm. To add more content.
And these were eBooks that were being sold directly off your website, right? They weren't sold on Amazon or other places.
Right. Yeah, they are available on Amazon, but initially they were just through my website.
Awesome. Now, I want to know from your point of view, when did things finally start to click for you? Was there a aha moment or some sort of event or, you know, or like, because it seems at this point, it's like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be consistent enough for me to, you know, last and come fall. Like, I don't think I can. Like, was that enough for you to say, okay, in the fall, like, this is enough for me to keep going? Or do you think that you needed more? And then when did more happen?
So, let's see. So in 2013, that year that I kind of, you know, set that deadline for fall, mm-hmm. in July, I actually ended up making about $3,000 that month. And so I could kind of see the potential there. And that's when I thought, okay, I could probably do 5,000. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, it took me till the end of 2014 to actually hit the $5,000 revenue mark. So it was kind of up and down since then. And I think part of it was just part of it seasonal. So usually my peak in traffic and income-ish is in May. And then it just gradually declines till October, November. Mm-hmm. So it was good that I had made that much over the summer because the next, you know, that fall, it didn't do nearly as well. And actually, the following summer, I was about ready to say, okay, I need to kind of abandon the blog and just go back to doing photography because it hadn't increased as much as I'd hoped. But that's actually when I got the offer to write The Idiot's Guide.
Yeah, and talk about that. So that's sort of like the like a dummies kind of book, right? But it's a different brand.
Yeah. Yep. So, so in 2014, that summer when I was kind of on the fence about whether or not to keep going with the blog, I actually had four different publishers contact me about writing a book on succulents. And a bunch of my blogging friends were like trying to get book deals. And then four kind of fell in my lap, which was awesome. Yeah. So, it was a really good experience, but, I realized with the other publishers that I'd have to stop selling my eBooks. And I wasn't really willing to give up that money for maybe that much down the road. Mm-hmm. And so I turned down three of them, I guess. And then that's when the Idiot's Guide approached me. And, I don't know if I can share how much I made from that publicly, but
you don't have to. You don't have to.
But yeah, so interestingly though, I had set a number in my head of how much I had just told my husband, you know, if someone paid me X amount to write a book and then there were no strings attached afterward, you know, no commissions for me, but you know, I can still publish whatever I want, I think I would do that. And Idiot's Guide came to me with that exact amount, just like a month after I'd said that. So
and you didn't even tell them that amount? Like that's just what they came to you with?
Yeah. Yep. They just came to me with that. They had no idea I'd set that number. So that was kind of a sign to me that was meant to be.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And so what was going through your head when you're like, wow, they came to me with this, and it was for like an advance, right?
Yeah. Yep. So, that kind of reaffirmed to me that succulents were going to be the way to go. And I had actually just like kind of finalized my photography portfolios, well, a sample to like go start approaching new clients. And then just like a week later, got the email from Idiot's Guide and got that all finalized. So it was perfect timing.
That's really cool.
But yeah, it just kind of made me realize, okay, I think this is really the direction I should be
going. Do you think they reached out to you?
So the response I had gotten from all the publishers is they were just searching online for succulents, whether it was on Pinterest or on Google. And I was usually the one that came up first and had the best imagery.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, most garden blogs aren't especially attractive. So that was something that really made Succulents and Sunshine stand out was... I'm a little biased, but really good photography.
Well, that superpower of yours definitely helped out here, obviously. But okay, so tell us about what it was like to write that book, because I know there's a difference between, you know, writing your own book and publishing your own stuff and having it be yours self-published versus kind of going the more traditional route with getting an advance and having like however many people say yes or no to certain things. What was that experience a good one for you? What was that like?
Overall, it was a really good experience. So they, when we signed the contract, they actually had an outline page by page what they wanted in the book, which was fantastic. So I didn't have to come up with, okay, here's the sections I think we should have. It was just all laid out for me. And then I kind of got to tweak things and say, well, this can only be a certain number of pages, but this one needs, you know, more space.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, because as you probably know, like figuring out the content of the book is like the hardest part and mm-hmm. how to structure it. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice to have, you know, a guide already for what they wanted. And then the editor that I worked with was really just fantastic. She was really, I don't know, lenient is the right word, but just very welcoming of any suggestions I had. And I was surprised at how few edits or revisions they made, which I don't know if that's good or bad. I go back and forth.
Probably good.
It was probably good. Yeah. So, and the nice thing is that the style of the book, like the voice was very similar to how I'd been writing on the blog. So they wanted it conversational, which was nice because I don't know if I could have, I think it would have been a lot harder to write it from a more technical standpoint. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good. The hardest thing, and at the same time, the best thing was I actually wrote and photographed the whole thing in just over 3 months.
What? Oh my gosh. So
yeah,
that's so it was like a daily, everyday kind of working on this.
Yeah. And so so it was in the winter, which is a horrible time to buy succulents in Utah. There's not much of a selection. And my sister-in-law had actually just, or not my sister-in-law, my sister, had just been laid off from her job. And so she ended up being my like photo assistant, travel companion, babysitter, everything. So we took, I can't remember now if it was 2 or 3 trips to Southern California to both buy succulents and buy succulents and photograph them. Because that's kind of where my network of people in the succulent world was. Mm-hmm. And then my parents had 2 extra bedrooms and a bathroom at their house. So those turned into the greenhouse, potting shed, and photo studio. Wow. And it was just kind of a beautiful nightmare, but really good.
That's so cool. Yeah. Everybody came together to help out. And so what was it like for you to finally kind of finish that last photograph and put in that last period?
I was actually, I never wanted to see another succulent again. I was like, oh, I'm so done. So done with succulents.
That's awesome. So, okay, take me through, okay, after the book is done, what was it like to see it for the first time? I mean, did you get a first kind of draft of it to check out before it was on the shelves?
Yeah. It was really exciting just to kind of see someone else putting together what I'd done, and so much content, because I think my ebooks are, you know, 30, 40 pages and they're mostly pictures. Mm-hmm. Which this one also is, it does have a lot of photos in it, but you know, 240 pages is insane to see your writing and your photography there.
That's so cool. I mean, so, I'm on Amazon right now. It has like 51 reviews, the average like 4.7 stars. That's amazing. And you were kind enough to, gift me a copy at an event that was held here in San Diego not too long ago. And I've already told people in the intro the story behind that, but I wanted to thank you publicly for, you know, just kind of dropping what you were doing and driving from Utah to San Diego, dropping your family off in Vegas. And again, just kind of confirming how awesome your husband is for kind of just going along with that. And, you know, it was such a pleasure to meet you. And that's, you know, I wanted you to come on and tell your story because I knew it was going to be great. I didn't even have to ask you about it because I was kind of getting bombarded from a whole bunch of people at that time. And I mean, it's one of my favorite things to do is to go and meet new people. But in a setting like that, it's hard to get deep into a story. So I just wanted to, wow, thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, we're not done yet. I have a few more questions to ask you, but thank you. Just, I wanted to do that publicly.
Well, thank you. I mean, I feel like it's really cliche to say that SPI changed my life, but really, I mean, it really has. Like, I was listening to SPI while I was doing the photography job before I quit to just do, or let's see, when I, yeah, the photography job before I quit to do just succulents and sunshine. And that was kind of what motivated me to be a little bit daring and just make that leap into
it. That's so cool.
But
thank you, yeah. Cassidy. I mean, this, to hear that, I mean, this is exactly why I do what I do. And I would love to hear that kind of feedback in the future from all the listeners out there. I mean, that this is what motivates me to keep going. So why don't we keep going before I start like crying and stuff. Again, thank you, Cassidy. So, okay, the book is coming out. Was there like a launch event that kind of went with it, or was it kind of just like it's there and it's available now?
Yeah, so that was kind of weird. So once I handed in the final draft, final photos, that was kind of like the end of my relationship with Idiot's Guide. And it's still kind of weird to me to think about. So I don't make commissions on it or anything. Like, it really was the contract I'd wanted, like paid up front to write it and then no strings attached after. Mm-hmm. So I kind of did a launch on Succulents and Sunshine. So it came out December 2015. And quite a few people did buy it, but I wasn't selling it directly through my website because it ended up not being very cost effective for me to sell it directly. Mm-hmm. So I ended up just linking to Amazon, and my affiliate commission was about the same as what I would have made actually selling it myself. So it was kind of like a not super exciting launch. Like, I was happy to have it out and kind of cool to have it on my, kind of on my resume is almost how I thought of it. Yeah, there hasn't been like a whole lot of excitement around it since then. I've done like one book signing at a nursery down in Escondido.
It's literally right next door to me.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's, it was kind of my home away from home. That was where I went to buy succulents, photograph succulents for the book, and just any other time we felt like we wanted to go.
So here's the big question. Was it worth doing?
Yes, it definitely was. But I don't think I would do it again.
I think we can understand why you wouldn't do it again. But also, I'm curious, what do you feel was the benefit of doing this besides, you know, just making a few sales here and there?
So I do feel like it. I do feel like it adds some legitimacy to the blog. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of adds some authority that I have a published book. And I also developed a lot of relationships while I was working on the book that could have happened otherwise, but maybe wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. But it also kind of just made me realize for the same amount of work that I put into the book, I could have done a lot on the website that would pay off now, but also down the road. So ultimately, I feel like it was just like a good learning experience. Learned a lot about signing contracts and negotiation, and even just learning more about how the publishing industry works was really interesting. So it was, yeah, it's good.
That's pretty cool. So to finish up, like, what is next for Succulents and Sunshine? Like, where are you going with this? Or are there more courses coming out, books? What's next on your calendar?
So I have a few more eBooks that I'm trying to kind of figure out and finalize. Unfortunately, they are going to take longer than some of the previous ones, just because I have to wait. I guess the nature of the content requires that I photograph over the course of a year.
I see.
So I'm not an especially patient person, so that's been a little tough.
So these are like new experiments and stuff that you're doing?
Yeah. So I'm really focusing right now on cold hardy succulents, since most of the U.S., which is probably my biggest market, most of us don't have, you know, really mild winters like San Diego does. And there's only a select group of succulents that will survive a frost or snow. And so I'm kind of headed that direction with it. I have an affiliate partner that specializes in cold hardy succulents. And so between the two of us, we're trying to figure out a way to kind of increase that exposure and kind of bring that California type landscape to people really anywhere, but especially in kind of some of these mountainous climates.
Yeah. That's so cool. It's so interesting to hear like the strategy and, you know, the fact that you're going to be opening up this new market and kind of you're going through these experiments. As you know, this is something I like to do on SPI. That's how I get most of my content, is just through doing and then sharing, right? Like I had gone through moments of SPI where, like you, Cassidy, I just was like, oh, well, I think I talked about everything I need to talk about. And then, you know, of course there are, with the industry that I'm in, you know, there's like new technologies that come out and things change every once in a while. And, you know, that becomes something to talk about. But in general, like a lot of the things are going to stay the same no matter what platforms you're on, no matter what technology you're using. But every time I've run an experiment, it's just created massive amounts of content. And plus it's like, it's real life and, you know, who knows what might happen. So I'm sure in the case with succulents, like you might try something and maybe it doesn't work out, in which case now you can report on that and kind of be, you know, you're being the expert by doing it first and sharing the results one way or another.
Yeah. And that's actually been kind of the fun part of it for me. I think the people who consistently read the blog well, I know they expected me to have like this really beautiful, perfect succulent garden. But last summer, I actually posted pictures of what my garden really looks like. And people were just shocked because it's not at all what they pictured. And stuff was dying. Stuff looked good. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of everything's kind of in transition because, you know, I'm photographing stuff for one project mm-hmm. and then other plants get neglected because I'm working on something else. And yeah, so it was not the picturesque garden most people had imagined.
That's so interesting. Well, thank you. Thank you, Cassidy, again for sharing this. One quick question. If I wanted to learn more about succulents, what one article should I read on your website or where should I go?
I would go to, so it's succulentsandsunshine.com and it should just always be on the homepage, but How to Water Succulents. That's probably the number one post I recommend to people because it's the most common, problem with succulents is watering.
Got it. Awesome. Cassidy, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and sharing how much, SPI has made an impact on you and your life. And, thank you to your family as well for letting you come to San Diego and hang out with me and a bunch of other people for a little bit. And I so look forward to seeing you again in the future and learning more about what you've been up to. So any final words of encouragement to finish off for the people who are listening today who, you know, might be at that point where you were at kind of before that fall that you gave yourself a deadline for as you were just kind of transitioning into succulents. If you could kind of think back a little bit to how you were at that time. I mean, I think there's a lot of people listening who are at that moment right now. What would you say to them to encourage them to move forward?
I would just say to just keep at it. If something's not working, you know, tweak it or try something a little different, but just keep moving forward and try not to get hung up on the things that aren't going well. Cause I know that can be overwhelming if there's a lot of problems, but yeah, just keep trying to find a way to make it work because you almost always can find a way.
Yeah. It's not easy, but you can find a way.
Yeah.
Cassidy, you rock. Thank you so much again. Succulents, plural, and sunshine.com. And look forward to catching up later. Thanks, Cassidy.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. I hope you really enjoyed that interview with Cassidy Tuttle from succulentsandsunshine.com. And I hope that gives you inspiration too. It doesn't matter what niche you're in. It matters what you provide for that niche. And obviously, this is a pretty obscure niche, but it shows you what the possibilities are. And I want to encourage all of you to take action and keep going just like Cassidy did and talked about. And Cassidy, once again, thank you so much. You can check her out one more time at succulentsandsunshine.com. And if you want to get all the links and things mentioned in this episode, as always, you can go to smartpassiveincome.com/session283. And just to give you a little bit of a teaser of what's coming up next week, the next couple weeks, we're kind of featuring more stories in and around the Kickstarter scene. Kickstarter is an amazing platform you can use to not only validate your business ideas, to gain exposure to brand new audiences, but also help your tribe support you in a project that you're working on. And so we're going to have interviews with experts in the crowdfunding, kickstarting space, interviews with successful product owners, and it's going to be a lot of fun. There was actually a blog post on SPI earlier this week here in September 2017. If you want to check it out, by John Lee Dumas, who is doing some amazing stuff in the Kickstarter world as well. So we'll link to that in the show notes. And I just want to say I appreciate you. Thank you so much for all of the support. And if you haven't done so yet, just subscribe to the show. We got more stuff coming. All right, guys, thanks so much. Love you. See you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I've got one for you. It's called Dirty Money, and it's like a hybrid between a true crime and a business podcast. So hosts Jonathan Small and Dan Bova tell the tales of legendary scammers, con artists, and barely legal lowlifes who stop at nothing to rake in millions. Recent episodes include the man who looted $100 million from his own company, crazy. Give it a listen. Head on over to Dirty Money right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.